Welcome to Lagniappe, a news feature of KEDM Public Radio with information on issues and events. I'm Bob Lennox, joined in studio today by Dr. Robert Hanser, head of the Criminal Justice Department at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Dr. Hanser, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Hanser, there's been a lot of incidents that have been going on in the news here locally, and just wanted to touch upon some of the issues that face the area when we go through times and cases as we are right now. And looking towards the case involving a young man who is going to be tried as an adult, looking at cases like this, what criteria are applied when you're talking about trying a juvenile as an adult in the court system?
Well, here in Louisiana, typically what they base it on is the age of the juvenile and the seriousness of the offense. And of course, the more recent incident that, you know, is on everyone's mind was a very serious offense and is, of course, carrying a very serious charge. Again, juxtaposed against the youth's age will be the criteria that the district attorney, judges, and whatnot will utilize to determine whether the case is, as they call it, waived into adult court. And, of course, it has been.
Is that an easy process to waive a juvenile into the adult system with the charges?
Well, actually, it's not too difficult. The Louisiana Children's Code has specific titles and, you know, policies that explain exactly when and how, you know, to waive cases. And once it meets that criteria, it's just kind of a step-by-step process that they have to file.
Do these cases often go to a jury, or is there a plea agreement made, or does it really depend on how, you know, the defense positions themselves?
Well, that latter statement was very accurate. First off, let me just say that, you know, in criminal court, the overwhelming majority of cases are pled out of court. A lot of sources claim 90% or more of all cases are pled. That may be true in this case, may not. It depends on kind of, again, how you said the defense positions themselves. They may find it more in their interest to actually take it fully to a jury trial. And that process will be something that's negotiated between the DA and the defense, you know, counsel.
As we discuss this today, a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity has been entered. How does the case proceed from here with that condition of insanity being offered up?
Well, first off, this process is lined out in a number of statutes, but the one that comes to mind would be the Louisiana Code of Criminal Procedure, Title 16, Article 558.1. And basically, it just says that the court can adjudicate a defendant not guilty by reason of insanity without trial when the DA consents and the court makes a finding based on expert testimony that these are a factual basis to the plea. The fact that this has been taken to a grand jury and has been accepted indicates that, you know, there's, you know, some consent, you know, on the basis of the attorney, the district attorney, obviously.
Right.
What will happen from there is determining how this plea will mitigate culpability or intent, as well as the potential sentence that will be given to the, you know, youth involved.
Turning our attention to other issues that have been going on. Well, first, let me ask you, in following up to that, since the plea of insanity has been entered, how successful are cases where the insanity angle comes into play?
Well, nationally speaking, different sources have different statistics, but roughly, I think you could safely say only about 4% of these cases actually prevail, you know, with the insanity defense. This may or may not be impacted by the age of the person and the particular circumstances. When juveniles utilize this defense, it tends to have a little more bearing, I think, in the public perception and the jury's perception if it goes to jury trial, you know, than it does, you know, with adults. So, it I guess to answer the question specifically, they don't tend to work very frequently, but you know, if they do work, juvenile cases tend to be more likely than adult.
Looking at other cases that have happened in the area regarding police shootings, how can the community and the law enforcement agency work through times like this when an incident like a shooting occurs?
Well, this is kind of a two-part answer, I would say, mm-hmm. or I would kind of look at the community and the police as a symbiotic relationship. Police agencies around the nation, and of course here in Louisiana, understand that having a strong police community relationship is very important. That police community relationship allows police to uncover details and facts and circumstances behind incidents that might otherwise not come to light. So, you know, it's in a police agency's best interest to facilitate that process, and in fact, they do in this area. For citizens, you know, in the area, I think it's real important to understand the emotional impact upon officers responding to these mm-hmm. incidents. You know, at some point with these kinds of incidents, there's one officer or two officers who initially see the circumstance or see the incident. And, you know, they're not necessarily pretty situations. I mean, they're pretty grotesque sometimes. And being receptive to that and facilitating that and being empathetic, I think, is the best medicine, if you will, to ensuring that everyone is optimally helpful to one another. If I may just add one other thing, I think examples like the Citizens Police Academy, volunteers in policing, right. Different aspects like that allow citizens to more directly develop and maintain that rapport.
From here, basically, like you say, a symbiotic relationship, and they mm-hmm. continue to help out each other, especially, as you mentioned, whenever there's a time when the law enforcement has to rely on the public as far as leads and things like that, being able to gather evidence, if that be the case.
Right, exactly.
Dr. Hanser, thank you for joining us. If someone would like to find out more, how can they get in touch with you about finding out about, you know, certain issues that may be facing the area?
Well, feel free to call me at my office phone. It's 318-342-1443, or email me at Hanser, H-A-N-S-E-R, at ulm.edu.
Dr. Hanser, thank you for your insight on these issues today. We appreciate you joining us.
Okay, thank you very much.
You can hear this and other Landia podcasts by visiting The Listening Room online at kedm.org.